everyone. Welcome back to the I Should Totally Be Dead Right Now podcast, where we tell true stories of survivors of true crime, natural disasters, and everything else in between. How's it going, Michelle?
It's going delightful. I've got a pretty hard buzz going, and it's sunny outside. So really, what could be better?
What could be better? My goodness. These drinks are great. What is it, Michelle?
Well, okay. I'm going to call this maybe like my sparkling Irishman instead of,
okay.
Or my, I don't know, because it's a play on a nutty Irishman.
Yeah.
But I didn't stick to the total, because I want more of a cocktail. So the nutty Irishman is like a shot of Frangelico, a shot of Bailey's, and then some cream, and you sort of mix it all together and pour it like sort of like a thick marshmallowy martini. But I wanted something a little more substantial. So of course I popped some vodka in it. And then I mixed that up. I omitted the cream and then put sparkling water on it to make it more of like an Italian soda. Okay. A shot of vodka, a shot of Bailey's, a shot of Frangelico, pop that in a glass and top it with sparkling water and you're ready to go.
Beauty. I love it. Thank you.
A drink that's quick and easy, delicious, and we'll get you all kinds of buzzy. So yeah.
It's very tasty. I did do the cream. I mixed some Bailey's with some whipped cream. Delightful. Mm. Delightful. Mm. But yeah. It's just pure alcohol, but I like the sparkling water. That's a good, interesting take.
Well, I just want it to be a much taller drink in a really tall glass.
Yeah.
Where I have a lot of it to drink. And so I felt like the other one was going to be gone in about 2 seconds. And so
yeah, that's fair.
That wasn't going to work out.
Awesome. Groovy. Anything?
Well, I guess we should talk about, it's almost like St. Patrick's Day. So that's the whole reason for the Irishman. My God.
That's right.
Do you have any crazy plans? Are you going to go out, you know, pub crawling on St. Patrick's Day?
I am going to meet up with a few coworkers. Yes. On St. Patrick's Day. Yes. Right. But we're going to meet like at 5:30 though. And like end the night at 8. So, you know, I have to work the next day. So, you know.
That sounds delightful. That is my kind of, I get made fun of all the time. Cause it's like, once dinner is over, you're fucking out of my house. You need to go.
Exactly. Yeah.
8 o'clock. Good. It's time for you to head for the door so I can pop up some TV and fall asleep in my chair.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, especially I have to wake up so freaking early for work. It's like, it's just not fun to stay up too late anymore. So yeah, it is what it is, but
getting older. What a delight. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And just a quick shout out. Thank you for Kristen. She sent us some suggestions, which is really helpful, which really I think is great. We love any kind of recommendations or some advice and any of that. We love that. Even though Michelle's not tech savvy or anything
like
that.
I was like, what the fuck ever, Miss Tech Savvy? I can't even with you.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
I'm not tech savvy. It's fucking true.
Well, they don't really.
When you just say what's honest, I can't even. I'm done with you.
Sad day. Sad day. I'm sorry I called you out, Michelle. I'm so sorry. Ugh, you poor thing.
I thought you were going to be like, well, she tried the blackberry basil lemonade and said that was also delicious. That's what I thought you were going to tell me.
Oh,
no. Not bitch can't do shit with tech.
I mean, no. It's good. No, it was just really sweet. So thank you so much, Kristen. We super appreciate that.
She did suggest, what was the book called? Flavors?
Oh, yeah. It was like a,
it's a like complimentary flavors that taste good together.
Yeah. So that was really interesting to, what's it called?
So that part I am good at. I can cook and make delicious cocktails. So that's where I shine.
The Flavor Bible. That's what it was.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So we need to get a copy of that. The Flavor Bible. And we'll try. We'll try it. That sounds great. We appreciate that. So yay. Look at
us.
Hopefully
we can use some of these weird alcohols that we have.
That piled up. I know. After.
I have quite the bar of like strange liqueurs that you can't really on their own.
Right. No, absolutely. No, it's good because like after over 130 episodes, it's like, all right, well,
What do we make now? Fortunately, there's
yeah.
like a bazillion cocktails out there, so.
Yeah. We won't have issues running out, but yeah, the bar is gonna be pretty full stacked.
Yeah,
So,
it is. Yeah, it
but
is.
look at us grow, Michelle. Look at that. Look at
Oh.
us go. All right. Okay. Are
Yeah,
you
I feel like you
ready?
better just jump into it because I made myself
Yeah.
another one of these and it's going down really quick and easy.
All right.
So
All right.
I'm
We'll
the
get
guest
to
starter.
it. So the story is about Jacqueline Fitzgibbons.
Okay, Jacqueline Fitzgibbons.
Yes. So Jacqueline is 24 years old and we're in 2014.
Okay.
So she works on Wall Street and
Ooh.
I know. And she is studying for her Series 7 exam to become a stockbroker.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jacqueline and her friends go to the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Staten Island in 2014.
You know that's a fucking party.
Oh,
You
absolutely, I
know that's a
bet.
party.
That would be a good time for sure.
I once, I think it was like, had to have been like my 35th birthday or something like that. I was in Chicago and we met up with this guy that I knew from trade shows. Like every time I went to a trade show, this guy was there. And so, you know, it was one of those sort of casual acquaintances that you meet and get to know at this one particular instance. But anyway, it was this Irishman who I felt like maybe I could drink alongside him and drink just as much as he could. The answer is
Oh.
no. The answer is no. So we were in this like back alley, freaking crazy bar in Chicago. I had no idea where I was, hammered as shit. And I'm still like, I can keep drinking beer. Don't you worry. So I feel like that's the vibe that's going on with Jacqueline here.
I love that. Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, because once the parade was over, the party was still going. They
Of
went to
course
the
it
bar.
was.
Yep.
Yes.
Her and her friends go to the bar and drinks, having a good time. Jacqueline actually goes outside to make a phone call, but it's weird because the bouncer won't let her back inside. He's like, no, you can't come back in.
They probably let someone else in. They're probably at capacity. As soon as she left, they probably popped someone else in there and it's like, sorry, sorry, girl.
Yeah, could be, absolutely. But she's like, all my friends are in there. He's like, nah. So she's like, fuck it. All right, bye. So
I guess I'm going
she,
home.
no. Well, I mean,
No, she's not.
so she's like, okay, whatever. She's still like, she's a little intoxicated for sure. I mean, duh.
For sure. It's St.
But
Patrick's
she,
Day.
yeah. So she's walking down the street, and she actually found a few different people she knew who were waiting for a ride. So they said, hey, if you wait with us, we can give you a ride home. She's like, Gucci, great, cool.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So they're hanging out, and as they're waiting for the ride, four men came up to them, and then Jacqueline wakes up in the hospital. Yeah.
Oh no.
So Jacqueline doesn't remember anything. She remembers the men walking up and then nothing.
What?
Yeah. So I guess what happened is these men just started an altercation, like just started fighting, and they smashed her head into the concrete, splitting it wide open.
Oh. Oh my
Yeah.
God.
That is when she became unconscious. Of course. Yeah. Makes
Yeah.
sense.
It must have happened so fast.
Yeah, it was so fast, she said. She couldn't even, yeah, she still doesn't remember. Yeah. So,
Well, and I think that's pretty common with head injuries and things
yes.
and a lot of accidents and things. You just like, you don't remember what happened just before the accident and you don't remember what happened like during the accident.
Right. No, yeah. We hear that a lot, don't we? That's
Yeah, we
true.
sure do.
But luckily, an ambulance was there within minutes. I'm sure there's a lot around, like police and ambulances, especially during that time.
Probably. There's
Yeah.
probably so many police. Like every single police officer that works in Staten Island was on duty that night.
I'm sure. I'm sure. But when the ambulance got there, by that time, Jacqueline's heart stopped.
Oh
Yeah. So they cut off all of her clothes at the scene, and they actually got her heart going again.
Oh my
Right.
God. This is
Yeah.
quite the head injury.
Oh my gosh, yes. She lost a lot of blood. A
Oh.
lot of blood. So they get her to the hospital, but then her heart stops again. So,
Oh my God.
yeah, I know. Doctors again worked on her and they got her heart beating once again, but she falls into a coma.
Oh my
Yeah,
God.
I know.
I thought this was going to be like a stabbing or something like that. I don't know what, but oh.
No, Michelle.
Yeah.
So doctors called her family and said that she's most likely not going to make it, and you should come say your goodbyes.
Oh God, that's like the most heartbreaking part when there's that like,
Absolutely.
I'm not going to make it, so I need to call home and tell
Yeah.
everyone how I really feel about them and how much I love them. And oh my God, it's so heartbreaking.
It is
I can't even imagine
heartbreaking.
what her family went through.
Oh, absolutely not. But she was, the doctor said that she, lost too much blood and the trauma was just too bad. But just after 24 hours, she wakes up from the coma. Yeah. Just like that. That's what she
She
heard.
hath arisen.
Jacqueline states, "When my mother told me how the doctor said I wasn't going to make it, I realized how bad it was and how lucky I was that I survived. I thought, what would I have been remembered for? People wouldn't have been able to say I've helped change your lives. At that point, I wanted to help make people's lives better." She said
Oh
that,
my God, I have chills from that.
right?
Oh, I'm
Well, she was saying like she wasn't the best person. Maybe she was a little mean, maybe a little self-centered. So when this happened, she really took, reflected on herself and was like, what would people remember me for?
Oh,
So
wow.
I know, right? So while recovering, she decided to take a drastic career turn. She states, "I spent years working an office job where I always felt I was meant for something more." So she quit her Wall Street job and got certified to be a personal trainer. She trained women in her parents' garage until she could save up. And in 2016, 2 years after the incident, she opened Jacked Fitness in Charleston.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So this fitness facility is specifically for women, giving women a safe place and judgment-free space.
Oh, that's
I know,
nice.
right? So Jacqueline offers a variety of classes from booty camp and tight and tone, which is a HIIT class, also offers nutrition counseling. She states, "My goal is to make women feel confident and strong. I want them to know that they don't have to rely on other people to protect them. The confidence I bring to my client is what drives me to succeed in this business. The more confident a woman is, the more she allows herself to be at peace with where she is in life."
Oh, I would agree with that. I think definitely. I don't know.
Yeah.
When you have esteem and you have confidence, it's much easier to feel good about where you are in the world, I think.
Absolutely.
You know. Oh, thank you, Jacqueline.
I know. So her gym is still up and running from in 2024. So this happened, she opened in
10 years
2016.
ago?
Yeah,
Oh,
about.
yeah, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she's still empowering women. COVID did almost disrupt things. She had a GoFundMe for the 2020 year, but I checked and in 2024, she's still posting with her gym. And so it looks like business is still doing well. And she has a safe and awesome place for women to work out, feel empowered, and feel confident about themselves.
That's awesome. That
Right?
is super awesome. That is nice because sometimes, not that I ever felt like I got hit on a lot at the gym or whatever, but I just don't want to feel like I have to put on a bunch of, like, I'm not putting on makeup before I go to
No,
the gym. You know what I
yeah.
mean? I don't really care about my workout clothes, so I'm not really interested in looking like super cute in my workout clothes. I mean, I guess I want to look a little cute, but.
Right?
But no, it is nice to be able to kind of be yourself and be comfortable
Yeah.
in your
Well, the gym
surroundings.
can be really intimidating. Like, you don't know how this machine works, and if people are staring at you, or if you're taking too long, then they
Well,
get
in these
mad.
days and
And
age, like you're being filmed by people at
oh,
the next one over. Like, look at
yeah.
this person trying to work the elliptical. And it's like,
Yeah.
thanks, guys. I don't want to. I'm still convinced there's going to be a YouTube video of me in fucking North Carolina with my boob hanging out at the beach. It's gonna like, look at this bitch trying to get out of the ocean. She can't do it. So it's just like, it's a whole different ball game anymore,
Yeah.
it feels
Yeah.
like, with, all kinds of
Well,
videos and stuff. And
it's also really, to go back, it's really so interesting how many times a near-death experience can make you like change your whole life forever, change a bunch of stuff. So it's
Yes.
just really interesting to see that.
No, I agree. I mean, it just, I think it sort of helps put into perspective what really matters for people. Like, really, when it comes down to it, no, my car doesn't matter, but my little sister does, or my daughter, or my mother, or, women in general, I'm going to help them feel empowered. And, it's just, I feel like that's almost, I want to call it the great work, for a lack of better word. It's like, it's not your vocation. It's the work that you do to spiritually touch other people, I guess, and help, I don't know, make the world a better place, for
Yeah.
lack of better word.
No, absolutely.
And that is what she's doing. She was headed here, and she was like, no, that is not. This isn't the legacy that I want to leave behind. And burr, now I'm completely on a different path, as you say. Oh,
That's amazing.
wonderful.
I guess two of the men did get arrested, but in an interview, she said that they claimed self-defense and wasn't charged.
What
So
the fuck?
I know. So I guess I don't have a clear picture of what actually happened because she
Sleep.
doesn't remember. So, which is fair, duh. I mean, it's just an excuse to drink. That holiday really is. They don't really, like
Yes.
you said, they don't even know what St.
But
Patrick, you
Saint,
know.
yeah. No, I had this whole, I'm gonna tell the true story of Saint Patrick, and good luck fucking finding it. I mean, there's
Yeah.
a lot of people who say they have the true story, but then you look at the next story and it's like refuted by other things. And it's just like, oh my God, well, we're not getting that true story this time.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. Like, okay, let's
Yeah.
have some green beer and there we go.
Call it good. Or Nutty Irishman. Or add some vodka and some sparkling water, and boom, you got,
The
what did I
sparkling
call it? A
Irishman.
sparkling Irishman or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like it. That sounds good to me. But good job,
Something.
Jacqueline. Holy cow, way to change lives, and you have a great legacy. That's what,
Yes.
So
Agreed.
yeah. Amazing. Good job, girl. Good job. Yeah. So it
Okay.
sounds like Michelle has two stories, right, Michelle?
You're goddamn right. I've got two stories. Well, mainly because my first story is a little short.
Yeah.
And so I just really went with how beer saved things. That was what I looked up. Like,
I
when
feel like
did beer
that's,
save the world?
yeah,
So,
that's something exactly your search history would say.
yeah, no, I don't think anyone wants to be looking at my search history. It's a little weird. No, so here is story number one, where beer saved everything.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. So I'm taking us back to 1917.
My
And so
gosh,
this,
lady.
I know. I had to go. Apparently, beer hasn't saved the world in recent times. So
I wonder
kind of
why.
annoying. So what this is, the end of World War One. So this story takes place in the Irish Sea, and at this time, it was a very dangerous time to be sailing the Irish Sea because there was a whole slew of German submarines waiting in the water to blow up ships. Whether they were military ships, civilian ships, it didn't matter. It was like, that's a ship that's coming out of Ireland. It's an enemy, so we're going to blow it up. So this became a very dangerous time to be sailing in general.
Fair enough.
So, but this particular ship decided, fuck it, we're going anyway. We have some Guinness to deliver. So the WM Barclay, which was the pride of the Guinness fleet, set sail with a whole cargo of barrels of Guinness. So, and they're gonna
Okay.
go, it's like 135 miles from Dublin to Liverpool, I guess it is. Yeah. So they're going from Dublin. Their destination is Liverpool. It's 135 miles, and it takes about a day to get there, depending on weather. So if they've got good wind, it's just a quick jaunt across the Irish Sea. So on October 12th, it sets off from Dublin, and it has a cargo full of the beer and a crew of 13. And about 3 hours into their journey, disaster strikes. A torpedo hits from the German submarine and the ship splits in two. So the crew, who's shocked and, freaking out because they've just been hit by a torpedo,
They're
go
shocked.
running. What's that?
They're shocked. Because
Yeah, I guess maybe shocked is not the right word. Just maybe bummed out that they got
rush.
hit.
They got caught.
Yeah. The crew goes flying for the lifeboats. It's kind of as the boat is now split in two. So I guess as the story goes, the ship's cook, Thomas McGlew, had been making a cup of tea when the torpedo tossed the hot water. Like when the torpedo hit him, the hot water went everywhere and ended up like scalding his arm. But by the time he made it to the lifeboat, the sun was setting and the ship was sinking. The ship was doing its best to go down to sink, but it found itself not able to sink very quickly. Because as it turns out, all those barrels of beer were buoyant.
Oh.
So it kept the ship up and kept it from sinking for a
Whoa.
considerable, for actually several hours. So it
Wow.
allowed, it gave the all the crew time to get to the lifeboats and off the ship, like in plenty of time. What they
Whoa.
said is if those or if those barrels of beer hadn't been on the ship, it would have sunk so quickly that none of the crewmen would have been able to ever make it out. So
Wow.
yeah.
Beer did save the day.
It did. So the floating barrels of stout in the cargo hold made it possible for eight of the 13 to escape. So it sounds like
Whoa.
five actually did not make it.
That's too bad.
But now they're like on a lifeboat in the middle of the night.
Oh,
So
no.
the sun is set. And so they're sort of floating away from the sinking ship. And the captain of the German submarine like comes out. And it was just like, who the fuck are you? Like in a German accent. I'm sure he said it very much more eloquent. Never
Sure.
mind. I'm sure he said
Yeah.
it differently, but who the fuck are you? I should try to say it in a German accent, but I feel like I'd be offending a lot of people.
A lot.
You're like, yeah, I concur. So I apparently that ship was on a hit list. So they had
Oh.
been trying to hit that ship for other times, and the
Why?
torpedoes had missed. It was just one of those, I guess it brought good beer all over, and it was like the sort of the pride of the Guinness fleet. And
Oh.
so they were ready to take it down. So they were pretty excited to get that checked off their list. And so the Germans sort of pointed them vaguely towards Ireland and said, get your lifeboat and go that way. They
Oh.
didn't like arrest, take them on board, take them
Yeah.
hostage, or kill them, or anything like that. They just sort of said, go that way, and off they went.
Oh, well, that's lucky.
So these guys are eight in the lifeboat, rowed for a while, and then they ended up putting the lifeboat's anchor down and just ended up shouting all night for help. Like they didn't
Oh.
sort of continue on. They were just looking for rescue. So around 5 o'clock the next morning, a ship passed by that had been coming from Dublin, saw them and picked him up and took him right back to Dublin. So they made it back kind of without, other than losing their ship, of course.
Right. And the Guinness.
And the Guinness went down as well. So I guess these torpedo attacks were so frequent in the Irish Sea that the crew went to go tell the to report the ordeal to the government, and the government like left him waiting for so long that they eventually got up and left. Like, there had
Oh.
just been so many torpedo incidents that they just kind of didn't care about it, I guess. So
Wow.
they gave up waiting and they went back to Guinness instead. So, which is probably what I would have done.
Yeah.
So there, the superintendent of Guinness gave him a swig of brandy. He said, even Guinness employees recognize that sometimes you need a little hit of the stronger stuff every now and again, and sent him home. And so that is kind of where our
Wow.
story ends. So actually, the remains of the WM Barclay is still 16, it's still on the seafloor, 16 miles east of the Dublin port at a depth of about 180 feet. It's broken in two, and actually it's kind of hard to see that it really went through as much drama as it did because it's just sort of kirk and
Perfectly,
then sank
yeah.
to the bottom, and that was sort of the end of it. But these crewmen can say with legitimacy that their lives were saved by Guinness. So.
I mean, what a story. What a story.
Oh, no.
I never thought I would say the day that you would find a story like that, Michelle, but that I'm
Leave
impressed.
it
That's good. Wow, okay.
to me.
Heck
We
yeah,
actually went
Guinness.
to the Guinness Distillery in Dublin, and
Right.
it's a really cool place to be because they have this museum of like all of the old Guinness stuff, and they have actually I bet they have a model of this exact ship in their museum because it was their sort of prize ship. And so
Yeah.
I know they had models of all kinds of ships. So now it'd be kind of fun to go back and see, like, is this there? And I know what happened on that ship.
Right.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is super cool. Huh.
No, it's a fun place.
Cool.
You can be certified as a Guinness bartender there because you have to like
Wow.
pour it in a certain way. You got to pour it and then let it sit for like 2 minutes while the sort of foam sort of builds. And then you got to finish the pour after that. And then you can drink it. So there's
Wow.
a whole art to pouring Guinness. I don't know that art because I just drank it and I drank a shit ton.
All right, Michelle, what about this second story?
Before I tell my second story, I have to
Uh-oh.
tell you, I have been thinking a lot about that April Fool's joke that I tried to pull on you, probably because April Fool's is coming around, where I tried to tell the story of Ghostbusters, and you're like, bitch, this sounds an awful lot like Ghostbusters. Do you remember that? Do you remember
I
that
sure do.
giggling?
I sure do. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why I thought of that, but it's been on my mind a lot.
If you just picked a any other movie,
It would have been perfect if I
it
could have
would have.
like blindsided you with Ghostbusters. Are you kidding me? Oh, fuck you, Caitlin. All right, I'm ready to go on.
Oh, goodness.
Sorry. This isn't an April Fool's joke, this one.
Okay, it's for St. Patrick's Day, Michelle.
I know, but I was just
Okay.
thinking about April Fool's. So maybe you thought it was an April Fool's, like I was trying to get in early or something to really fool you.
Sure, Michelle.
You're like, whatever, you're fucking done. Okay. So maybe I thought of it because the name of the guy. This story is about Jon Snow.
Oh my goodness.
Not about Jon Snow from Game of Thrones, but a different Dom. Not Dom Snow, Jon Snow, who was actually a physician in London
Oh.
back in 1854.
What is with you in this history lesson? My
Like I
gosh.
said, I had to go a ways back
All
to
right.
find beer
All right.
saving stories.
Okay.
They weren't as easy to find. I found a lot of like survive your St. Patrick's Day. I don't give a shit about that. Like I need like actual stories. Okay. So again, saw this is a oh my God, girl. I probably should not have made that other drink, but I made a whole nother full one, so I'm gonna drink it. Okay. Jon Snow, London, 1854. We are in the middle of a cholera outbreak.
Oh no.
In the early 19th century, London was one of the largest cities in the world in terms of its population. But unfortunately, that growth was marked by a major problem with filth in the city. So there was really just a lack of sanitary services, just in general. So this town, Soho, which I'm sure a lot of people know what I'm talking about, which is where Jon Snow lived, didn't benefit from the London sewer system in the middle of the, 1800s. So countless people did not have running water. They didn't have toilets in their room. They were using communal pumps that were sort of in the middle of a block, and you could go and get your water from that specific pump that was closest to your house. And a lot of the septic systems were very primitive, where essentially people were just throwing their waste into big cesspools.
Oh,
So there's just, I know. Could you even imagine like living in
no.
a time like that? It must have smelled so bad. I mean, just raw sewage just hanging out pretty much like
Gross.
right there. And people used the communal pumps for all of their cooking, all of their cleaning, just anything that you need water for. I guess also to make it matters worse, water companies would bottle up waters from these pumps or the river Thames. Yeah. From the River Thames. I think that's how you say it. Anyway, they would bottle up river water and sell it, even though there was essentially raw sewage going into the river. So my
Wow.
point
Okay.
is, there just wasn't a lot of good sanitary water around.
Ugh.
So this was, of course, a recipe for disaster, and London was gripped with a series of cholera outbreaks.
Makes
So
sense.
the first wave of the disease occurred in 1831 and killed thousands of people. And then there was another outbreak that occurred in 1849. And between the 1831 and 1849 events, they killed 14,000 people.
Wow,
And
what is
so,
cholera again?
cholera, as it turns out, is a waterborne disease that has essentially been wiped out now because we have clean water, essentially from unsanitary water, which they did not know at the time. So, spoiler alert. So now we have Jon Snow. Jon Snow was born in 1813 to a desperately poor region of York. He apprenticed as a surgeon, but in 1850, he moved to London where he worked as a physician. So at the time, there was competing theories as to what caused the cholera. So the prevailing theory was miasma theory, which is a disease in the air. So you would breathe it in and you would get sick from having dirty air around you. It was a suggestion that particles from decomposed matter were imparted into the air and then you breathed it in, and that allowed disease to spread. But Jon Snow was a proponent of the germ theory, where he suggested the main cause of the disease was an unidentified germ. So he believed that the germ was transmitted from person to person through the consumption of water. And turns out he was pretty well correct. As intelligent as this hypothesis sounded, there was few physicians that paid him any mind. They thought it was just pure nonsense. Like, no, nothing's being passed through the water. The water's fine. It's through the air. You're a dumbass. They labeled his germ theory as peculiar. Nailed it. I'm sorry, Caitlin. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you make the nightmare that is the recording into something that sounds good, and I don't sound like a fucking idiot every time.
Well,
I
at
don't know how
least this
you do
time you're not like scratch the last 5 minutes that I've talked about where we
I
start
was
it.
thinking, just put this part in and then I'll start from there. Yeah, sorry.
So
I
this
know.
is good to
I was
me.
reading through some other story that I had done a long time ago, and I was like, I don't, how is mom even in the car? Like, oh God. Okay. So it didn't take long for John to get the opportunity to prove his theory that it, in fact, went through the water. On August 31st, 1854, there was another cholera outbreak, and this time it was in Soho. And a total of 616 people died. And John was actually able to get to the root of the issue. By this time, a lot of people have died. So a lot of about three quarters of the city, or three quarters of the people in the Soho area of London fled. They took off. They were like, forget it. Too many people are dying. The air is awful here. So John actually lived close to the area and he just sort of began his investigation. So he first interviewed as many residents as he could find in Soho still. And the goal was sort of to figure out what was the link between all these people who had lost people and what were they doing and that type of thing. So he checked the water in the area and he wasn't able to find any organic matter on it. And so he kind of got a little bit discouraged, but he kept on going. And after interviewing all these families of victims, he discovered that almost every single one of them lived close to this water pump on Broad Street. So this one particular water pump, so many people who had lost people had lived near that water pump. And he noticed that on streets that were closer to other water pumps, the amount of deaths were reduced. And so it was like, what is the difference between these two water pumps? So now Snow is pretty well convinced that the Broad Street pump is the reason for the outbreak. And he created a map and he's charted everybody's death on the map and everything. And it all sort of zeroed in on this Broad Street pump. He started investigating sort of the outlier deaths that happened. For instance, there was one woman who lives several miles away from the Broad Street pump who died from cholera. He was like, what the hell? There's not a whole lot of deaths in this one area. But it turns out that she liked the taste of the water from the Broad Street pump so much that she had her son bottle it for her and bring it to her. So she was drinking the water from this one pump, even though she lived many miles away.
Ew, she liked the taste of it? Gross.
I know, I can't, like, what do the other ones taste like? If that one tastes good, the cholera one, barf. So one of his most fascinating discoveries was the good health of all this 535 people who worked in a brewery on Poland Street, which apparently is close to Broad Street. So these people that worked in this brewery were allowed to drink as much beer as they wanted, as they worked in the beer or in the brewery, excuse me. So they had the malt liquor and not water, and they weren't dying. So I think of the 500 people who were close to this Broad Street pump, only five of them became sick. And so he's like, what the hell is going on? And so it turns out that this brewery had its own source of water that the Broad Street pump, even though they were fairly close. And so they were drinking the water that had been made into beer from the brewery's pump, which apparently was fine. Like the workers didn't drink water, because why would they drink water when they could drink beer?
Fair
I agree.
enough.
Is apparently my entire take on life. And so he found that all these workers were totally unaffected and they had their own water supply. So of course that made him think that it sort of strengthened his theory, his hypothesis that it was waterborne. Because they're not drinking the same water that everyone else is drinking. So now Jon Snow has a huge amount of evidence to support his theory that the Broad Street pump was the culprit. And so he approached the local council and told them to take all the handles off the pumps so they can't be used by anybody. And unfortunately, the officials were totally reluctant to do any of it. They didn't believe in his theory. They were just like, you're full of shit. It's in the air. That's sort of the prevailing thought. So finally, on September 7th, and I think we were back in August, so it hasn't been too long, they acquiesced to his, oh my God.
Request?
Yeah, thank you. My God, I know words, Caitlin. I swear to God. They acquiesced to his requests. They started taking the handles off the pumps in the town. And so it turns out the number of cholera cases started dwindling and dwindling and almost came to a complete halt within a few months. And so residents who had fled Soho in fear that they would die started slowly returning as, less and less people died. But Jon Snow's hypothesis was still ridiculed as complete nonsense.
Oh.
But there was another guy, Reverend Henry Whitehead, who wanted to prove Jon Snow wrong. He believed that this was a complete act of God, probably to like strike down sinners or some such thing. And so he went in search of the source of the outbreak, and turns out he ended up just proving Snow's theory completely correct. So upon interviewing a woman who had a child who had contracted cholera, they were, she didn't drink from the Broad Street pump. She, like, pretty much everything about her, she wouldn't have gotten cholera. But turns out she washed her baby's dirty diapers into a water source that was really close to the cesspool that was there in Soho. And so she ended up, her baby got it through the diaper, because it was in the water. And so actually that ended up helping Snow's theory. And so Whitehead went through and was like, we got to clean up our sewers. We got to clean up these cesspools. This is how people are getting cholera. And which, of course, he was correct. So unfortunately, no action was taken for many years.
Sounds about
So London
right.
was like, fuck you guys. We're probably not going to do anything to
Oh,
help.
no.
And so that's what happened. But it took a German physician in 1883, so this was in 1854, to really be able to determine that cholera was not contagious. It was transmitted solely through unsanitary water and food supplies only. And so, in a lot of ways, it was a victory for Jon Snow because he was finally proven correct. And then they found that once cities in Europe and in the United States started cleaning up their water supply sanitation, cholera sort of became a thing of the past.
There we
And
go.
it went away. So, as for Jon Snow, he died in 1858, long before, I mean, so it was only 4 years
Oh,
after all of his
wow.
investigation. So he died long before he was given full credit, but to this day, he's considered by many to be the world's first epidemiologist. Hopefully I said that right. So he's the one making sure that, all those waterborne illnesses are
Do you know what he
gone.
died from?
No, actually I don't. Now I want to look that up. Good point.
Interesting.
Probably.
So what you're saying, Michelle, is if the water's bad, just drink beer.
Just drink beer. That
There you
seems to
go.
be the case. But it was really because of that brewery that he was able to prove his theory. There were so many people who didn't get cholera that it showed that it was, in fact, waterborne.
Water. Wow.
So.
Interesting. The play I was in a few years ago, that was pretty much the story. People were ending up dying and it was the water.
Yep.
Yep,
Oh, he died
y'all.
of stroke on
Oh.
June 10th, 1858. He was 45. Oh, that's terrifying. He
That is
had a stroke
terrifying.
and died 6 years later, or 6 days later.
Aw.
Oh,
Sad.
sad. Oh my God. He was stabbed to death by the Night's Watch.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's a different Jon Snow.
different snow. That's so funny. Spoiler. Oh my gosh.
I know you're right.
Just
I'm
kidding.
sorry. I'm sorry. If you haven't seen it by this point, you're fucking done. All spoilers out.
Fair enough, Michelle. Let's get on track. Those are really good stories, Michelle. I love that we're into like a little history thing right now with your story last, episode. These two
I
to
know, and actually, I have another old school story
I
that is
love it.
like waiting in the wings. So you just wait.
I'm down. I'm down for it. Absolutely. Well, that was good. I like the little beer nod for the St. Patrick's Day. Good job
Oh,
there.
I always knew
And
beer was the drink that you should be drinking instead of water. I've
I
always
mean,
known it in my
okay.
heart and in my soul.
Well, there you go. There you have it, guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And it's like a week away when we post this, but it's fine. It's good.
Whatever.
It's
We're going
fine.
to be planning on getting drunk, that's for sure.
There we go.
Who am I kidding? I'm not fucking going anywhere. I'm going to probably have one Guinness upstairs with a little bit of corned beef, and that's the end of it. I'm sorry.
That wow. That sounds like a good evening to me. I'm just saying. That
It does
sounds
sound good.
delightful. I love corned beef. All right, Michelle. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we hope you have a nice, safe St. Patrick's Day, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Goodbye.
Goodbye, my God.